Yes. Shabbat Shalom. Yes. Shabbat Shalom. Malcolm and Hood. Beautifully good first day here for the first day service, a.k.a. the Sunday service here on the air. We have the prophet's reading here at the fourth Shabbat of comfort here as we are making our way to the New Year's here in the season, the New Year's season, the New Year's time, the New Year's Iowa, here. So let's ride up right here. We're still in the Shoftim, the judgments. But the first word right here that is said on the first day right here from the liturgy of the Divine Majesty, Kedemar HaZalasi, here, said on the Hood, first day.
Sosenya be'elete Hood yemibal, said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkinya Sarah Senvetina Yakabram Sohulu Sadikno Wada Ekaziavi Heram Lukota Yegeba Commitmentana Yelayena Yohona Fetzmoibel Sidkinya Sarah Senvetin Yakabram Sohulu Sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer, Ekaziabher-cha-Rastafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet.
Yes, I. Just getting the techie issues here on the board. Give thanks, fellow Habarim here on the board. Yes, I. So here, from that reading from the liturgy of His Majesty for the Friday evening, the eve of the Shabbat. Then we have the Saturday invocation, the word sound, and there we have for the first day Ifud. So Ifud is the first day of the Shabuah right here. And it's quite appropriate that we bring forward the reading for the fourth of the Shabbats of comfort, as there are seven Shabbats of comfort leading up to the lunar, we can say the Hebrew churchical new year. And this year, September 6th is that particular time, and the link with the solar new year corresponding to Ethiopia, the kingdom of God, and September 11th in most years, and on certain years, leap years. So now, in this Torah reading and feeding, Shoftim has a heavy judicial judgment, and it's like a summary of the previous Torah reading and feeding as the Torah, the directions, instructions was given to call Yisrael. So here, Moshe is speaking to a new generation of Jah people. He's speaking to the youths, the next generation, after that 40-year generation had basically wandered to death in the wilderness. And he's giving them a history lesson as well as reminding them of the key precepts and the principles and the main points that they should keep in heart and mind as they go forward, as they go over to possess the land grant then given to the children of Israel coming out of Mitzrayim. So here, as a little segue right here, this generation, interesting tune right here by Ross Shiloh and in tune the Torah reading and feeding. to this generation, especially this generation, without the teaching of His Majesty, without the directions and the instructions. So give ear and hear, hear, hear. I'd like to touch on 72 questions for this Torah reading and feeding. Shoftim, in the Hebrew, Shoftim, the judges. These are the same ones referred to in the Hebrew Psalms as the gods, especially in Psalm 82. Right, I've said ye are gods. The judges collectively are the Elohim because they are the agents of the Elohim, and they are to judge by way of what the Elohim has thus written. But even in that psalm right there, we get a rebuke, a reproof. And it's interesting in comparing and studying the psalms, for the psalms are one of the Trinity keys that Yeshua HaMoshiach, that he gave the disciples in the first advent. When he says all those things that are written of he who be who he be in the Torah and the law of Moses, in the Psalms of David, and in the prophets. So here, yeah, the psalm right here, here, here is Psalm 82, corrupt judges arraigned. So specifically the Elohim or the gods mentioned in Psalm 82 in the true context is referring to the Shoftim, is referring to the judges, those who are responsible, right, for justice and shalom within the community of Jah people. So here, here, hear this right here, this generation. So this generation without Jah's judgment is under judgment. May they repent as this is the season time, have a change of mind, give ear right here, here, here. Yes, I, Rosh Shiloh.
Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're often dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. People often lose control for material things. They sell their souls, blinded by vanity. See their best friends as enemies, not remembering the love from His Majesty. Oh, something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation, I've been dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Sticky, sticky situation I see, enemies on the rise, brutal and evil. Devils in the sky, they curse, they fight, war and terror they play. Big guns, long knives, they shed in blood every day. Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're often dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude thinks they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Oh, oh, hey, yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah, we gotta work harder. Help your brother out and don't delay. something about this generation. They're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation.
Something about this generation. Something about that generation, the wilderness. Remember, they were the children of the rebellious, mix-up moods, attitude generation that Moshe, Jah said, Moshe, these are the people you brought out. And Moshe, he responded, but remember these people that you brought out. I thought that was very interesting that when they started to arc up, you know, Jah said, this is the people that you brought out. Right, and when Moses appealed for the people as a kind of an advocate for the people, for the rebellious people in the wilderness, those who had just come out, who had seen those signs and those wonders of Jehovah, this is likened to even the visitation, the time, in his times he shall shoot, who is only potentate, the only sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords, yes, I, conquering line of the tribe of Judah, Ketamawi, Haile Selassie. All the works that were done in his generation, and there was that generation nearly 40 to 60 years ago that similar to the generation in the wilderness. But Moshe, he pleaded. Now, the connection here of Shoftim and the connection here also with the generation, the wilderness, this new generation, they could be just like their forefathers. But here in the fifth book of Moshe, the repetition of the Lord, Deuteronomos, the repetition, the Mishnah HaTorah, as it's called when mentioning the king, the rules and regulations for a Melech, a Negus, even Negus and Neges. And we see His Majesty fulfilling that even in His Bible, the King of Kings Bible, writing a copy of that out of that which the priest, the Kohanim, the Kahinat, you know, had writing that and keeping that nearby and reading in that and reminding the people of that direction and that instruction right there. Even the word sound, as Matthew says, about the fulfilling the 10 commandments, the 10 words, you know, and what he accepts and follows. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit accepts and follows this direction and this instruction. Now, in Psalm 82, that is often confused in the various speculations and opinions about who are the gods. It mentions around about verse 6, I've said ye are gods, all of you are children, or in the Hebrew, sons of the Most High. I have said, Ani, Amarti, Elohim, Atem, Elohim, Elohim, Atem, you all are Elohim. Uvenei, Elyon, Kulikem. U'b'nei, b'nei Elyon, the b'nei Elyon, the sons of the Most High. Kul kem, kul, all, kul, call, all, kul kem, all of y'all. Many ones, the part they miss is the context, the Hebrew context. Just to go over this again, because this is the third day evening psalm for the day called Tuesday, the third day of the Shavuot, seeing that Ehud or Sunday is the first day. And then when we count in that ancient way, it's very easy to really cite what is the seventh day. But here, concerning the Elohim in Psalm 82, or the God in the Hebrew, the Elohim, the El and the Elohim. Elohim, in its primary, its first context, is the heavenly judge. Elohim in the Hebrew is the creator name and the judgment name. You find this clear in certain psalms. In certain psalms, you see some psalms may have a balance of the Yahweh name, Yahweh name, and also of the Elohim, that attribute of powers. But in some psalms, you see there's a Elohim focus, and many of these psalms are like judgment psalms, because Elohim, speaking of the true good, the true God, Elohim, yes, the word is a plural. The word can be seen as a plural, powers, strengths, or powers. But the key that this is speaking of the Holy Trinity, HaShilush, HaKadosh, Kedush, Selassie, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one, is Hebraically in the verb. The verb, when used of the Elohim, the Elohim before whom there was no Elohim, and after him truly there is no Elohim, is, the key is, the verb is always male singular. It's almost always male singular when referring to Yahweh, to he who be, we be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. Now, Psalm 82 is interesting, just to go over this just briefly and link it with the Shoftim. How is this psalm linked with the Shoftim? Well, this psalm, Psalm 82, Mizmor Pei Veit, Mizmor Pei Fei Beit, Mizmor, Psalm 82, is in its use of the Elohim, in its use of the Elohim. Here, Elohim is the judges or the Shoftim. How do we know this? Well, in Exodus, in Shemot, Exodus chapter 21, verse 6, Exodus chapter 22, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 27. And in 1 Shemuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, the word Elohim, in its secondary connection of the powers, he who be, who ye be, who be the powers, the many attributes of he who be, who ye be, he who be, who ye be, the Father, he who be, who ye be, the Son, he who be, who ye be, the Holy Spirit. He has the power to be, to become that which he wills to be, because he is truly the sovereign. He is the El. He is the El of the Elohim. He is the power of the powers. But now the word with Israel and a connection with the covenant and the yoke that Yisrael took upon himself. What's the difference between Israel and the Gentiles? Israel is a goy. The word goy means a nation. Goyim means a nation, like the international community. What's the difference? That Yisrael accepted the yoke of Torah, of the direction, instruction, and the berit, and that covenant. Therefore, Elohim, ha Elohim, ha'ilahim, the power, gave to his sons, who would step up for the responsibility, that title of the Elohim. That's the verses, check them out in the Hebrew, in Exodus 21 and 6. Exodus 22 and 7 and 8 and 27, you find in those areas it says, okay, when there's a certain incident, take the one before the Elohim, present them to the Elohim. This is to present them to the judges who rule on behalf of the Elohim because they are agents of the Elohim. It's like I and I, Rastafari. Yes, I and I is Rastafari. But there is one who is the Rastafari. Who is the first Rastafari? The Rastafari Kadamawi Haile Selassie. Everyone else just comes after. But for the true Rastafari, we are Rastafari as he who be, who he be, is the Rastafari, Rastafari, the head to be reverenced, to be respected. And therefore, what we do is in his name. Now, with Psalm 82, the corrupt judges, those who had the name of Elohim upon them because they were to judge according to the Elohim, because the judgment is the Elohim's, the only true judgment, the only judgment. So the word Elohim occurs in a judicial connection. And on the principle, there's a principle we find in the beginning of this fifth book. The principle, a principle precept in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, where it says that the judgment is Elohim's, that the judgment is Elohim. So the Shoftim are to judge and adjudicate based on the precepts, principle, and the spirit of the Elohim. So the men who administer justice and the judgment are considered to be his agents, because they have his name, Shemo, his name, the Hashem, upon them. They are to exercise a goodly, a righteous function. And as such, they have Shemo, they have his name attached to them, as I and I has his name attached to I and I. So here you're here for this Torah reading and feeding. Get into that a little bit more, but take note, Psalm 82, when it speaks of the Elohim, it's speaking of the Elohim in a twofold way. One, the Elohim, the Father, to say the Father is speaking to his sons. And in Psalm 82, he's reproving his sons for allowing unjust judgment, respecting the person of the wicked, not judging the poor and the fatherless, not doing justice to the afflicted and needy, not rescuing the poor and needy, not delivering them out of the hand of the wicked. And therefore, there's that judgment. Now, at the end of the psalm, there's a little curiosity that some of us who study the Hebrew come across. And the curiosity right here, let's just look for this right here. The curiosity right here is when it speaks of Elohim, in some cases it speaks of Elohim in the plural, but when it's connected like this psalm right here, Psalm 82, is speaking of the Shoftim. And here is where the word came forward that they ought to have judges and officers within all of their gates. So judges is the connection of Elohim in Psalm 82, the specific connection. That's why it goes on to say, ye shall die like men, that although they have this godly function, when they fall short of that, they die like men and fall as one of the princes. Then we have the resurrection sense of arise, koma Elohim, shafta ha'aret, judge her, judge the earth, for thou shalt possess all nations. Ki atah, speaking directly now to the Elohim of Elohim, ki nahal bekol ha'goyim, for thou the eye shall possess all nations. And check out the Thursday podcast, went into the Human Rights Declaration and the prophecies concerning his majesty and the assembling of all the nations, all the Gentiles, all the heathen, first with the League of Heathen, the League of Gentiles, the League of Nations, and then the United Heathen, United Goyim, the United Nations, and the testimony and witness of Kedemawi Haile Selassie. So here for the Sunday service, looking at the time right here, I'd like to share this right here, the 72 questions right here to help us to chew the cud of this Torah reading and feeding right here. So I'd like to share this right here, the 72 questions. Yes, I.
Shalom again, brothers and sisters. Let's go through a summary. I'm going to just read through some of the questions that we would like to address in this after Josh Shabbat study assembly here on the air and the IRIT on the Blog Talk Radio, Discipleship Radio here on the blogtalkradio.com/LOJ Society platform. Go tell your friends, brothers and sisters. Let them know that after the Sabbath, the Rastafari sabbatical studies, that we're on the air. LOJ Society, Line of Judah is on the air. Get a hear. Give ear, get a hear, Shema Yisrael, Sima Rastafari, hear this, Jah, Rastafari people, yes I, calling the Ethiopian Hebrews at home and abroad, the once lost, now found, Ethiopia Israel, we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah society, calling for that fullness of the Gentiles from the nations to be brought into the church of the firstborn. Church of Rastafari. Yes, I. So for the sabbatical roundtable talk, right, and the chat and the reasonment, the roundtable reasonment, as we read the Aliyah, and then we reason on it in the Mishnah, and hopefully by Jah grace and mercy, we grow in grace, we rise in our awareness and the understanding and that inner standing. And as we grow, we come to that overstanding and the overcoming. Aro, amen, chaverim, again, amen, yes, I. So here we go, Shoftim. Bamarinyo, we know it as Farajoch. In the Authorized Bible, the Revised Amharic Bible, the HSV, the Haile Selassie Version, or the name that the Bible bears, the Book of the Seven Seals. And this Torah portion is so interesting because it also speaks to the groundation and the precepts. There are so many precepts in this Torah portion that refer to certain of the core curriculum, right, of the Ethiopian Hebrew Commonwealth, the Ethio-Israel Commonwealth, and Rastafari, the elect, the election and the remnant. Right, because although the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a A remnant shall return. Only a remnant shall be saved. Now, some say, oh, it says that all Israel, but not all who are of Israel are Israel. But let's save that for some of the reasonings, because I and I as the brothers, the Habarim, the Hasidim, the Rastafari Hasidim, come in to the gathering. Run, go, call your friend, text them, tweet them, Instagram them, Facebook them. Let them know that I and I is gathered here on the ear for the After John Sabbath Table Talk. One can listen to the streaming, call into the broadcast, grab your pen, your paper, Sacred Scripture, the B-I-B-L-E. Bring a willing and a repentive, attentive heart and mind. Shema Yisroel. Shema Rastafari. Hear this, Jah people. So for this 48th weekly Torah portion, the reading, the feeding, the aliyah here for Shoftim. Now, this consists of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Deuteronomy, known as the Sefer Devarim, the cipher, the book of the words, the repetition of the words, even those 10 words, even the 10 commandments, the teaching of His Majesty. Give us the teaching of His Majesty, the Talmud, right? The Talmud of Melech HaKavod, right? Of the King of Glory, the teaching of the King of Glory, the teaching of His Majesty. We don't want no devil's philosophy. We're seeking to come out, and coming out of Babylon, the world, the flesh, and the Gentile mind, confusion, Babylon. All right? But we have to study. See, that's a precept right there, to study, right? To shew I and I self approved, to study, to know the truth for I and I self. So I and I, proverbially speaking, can be on the same page, water reflecting water, iron sharpening iron. So Shoftim, Judges, Deuteronomy constitutes Deuteronomy chapter 16. We pick up here in verse 18, riding forward, aliyah up to chapter 21, Deuteronomy 21, verse 9. Now in Parashat Shoftim, it begins with Moses commanding Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, to appoint Shoftim, that is to say, judges, and Shotarim, that is to say, officers, in all the cities allotted to the tribes in the land grant given to Israel in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant scriptures, so that justice would be enforced throughout the promised land, throughout the land of promise. Now, these Shoftim were to be above reproach, neither showing partiality, respect of persons, respect of faces, nor accepting gubo, or nor accepting bribes on behalf of the wealthy. The key word, tzedek, terdof. Justice shalt thou pursue. Justice shalt thou follow. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. Justice, tzedek, terdof. Justice shalt thou pursue, that you may live and possess, inherit the land that Jehovah, thy almighty power, is giving you. Now, in practice and in practical terms, because, see, practice makes perfect. And the Torah portion, the readings, the feedings, the eye assembling, the iron sharpening iron, this is also part of that practice of I and I towards that perfection of the Most High. In practical terms, this meant that every town in Israel and in the Promised Land was to have its own law court, or court of justice, with a police force, quote unquote, right? That's the officers, right? To enforce the decision of the appointed judges, the appointed Shoftim. Now let's get into some of these questions, at least get a hearing of some of these questions here. And we first of all want to give thanks and, you know, praise Abba Father for all things. And then to others within the community of humanity who are trotting, right, Jahweh, and to John J. Parsons of the Hebrew for Christians and all of the information and documentation and labor of love that he puts in. So brothers and sisters, if you go through there and you can, you know, and you know, donate, you know, like, you know, drop a five or a dime, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? When we're reading about this, we're reading these things, it's not just to read them. See, religion, you know, we speak about religion, and some say it's Rastafari of religion, right? And some say Rastafari is not a religion because of the particular mindset or the mind control that has gone on because of the 400 plus years, because of the captivities. You see what I'm saying? The captivities, being in this strange land, this land that's not our own. Not just the land, but also the conscious, that state of mind. Come out of Babylon, right? Come out of confusion. What's the meaning of Babylon? Babylon means confusion, right? So let's deal with this right here. I want to thank John J. Parsons, the Hebrew for Christians. And we're going over this, and there's, you know, much of this. I'll say this right off. Much of this, I'll say maybe three quarters, right? Like 75%. You know, straight up we agree with, sometimes even more, higher at a percentage. But there's some things that need to be tweaked, so, you know, and tuned, and we'll give ones and ones the precepts and the reasonings therewith, so ones can, you know, head rest on that, and we can come forward and, you know, come to a decision. Do we agree? Can you cite that? Seen? Cite? Aro. So let's go forward. So for this 48th Shoftim, for this Rastafari sabbatical study, some of the sabbatical roundtable reasonment questions, the questions for the Habarim, the Q4C, so to speak, right, are these as follows. Now, remember, for this 48th, we have about 72 questions, right, according to this study order here that we are studying according to, right? We have 72 questions, which really help us to zoom in, right, on certain of the precepts, the context, you know, of it, so we really can become clear, so we don't have to say no justice. See, there's no justice, no peace for the lost sheeple, because where is your system? Where is your order? Right? What is your divine heritage? What's the groundation? What's the glory? You know what I'm saying? Majesty says, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So let's give glory to I and I, Godfather and King of Kings, in Yeshua I, HaMashiach I's name. Now the word Shoftim, first question, what does the word, the Hebrew word Shoftim mean? What does the Hebrew word Shoftim mean? Deuteronomy 16 and 18. Second question, what does the word Shotrim mean? Also, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. Who first suggested the idea of a judicial system to Moshe, to Moses? Who first suggested the idea, the hasab, the idea, the thought of a judicial system to Moses? Fourth question, why did Jah want and seek to appoint judges and officers, Shoftim were Shotrim, throughout all the cities of the land? Throughout all the cities of the land. Also, Deuteronomy 16, 18. So when we mention the area in the Torah, in the scripts, right, that's where you can refer to get a better context or follow up in your own studies, right, in this reasoning, so you see a point of reference. That's the reference scriptures right there. So we're up to the fifth question, moving to the sixth question. How were judges to judge the people? How were the judges, the Shoftim, the Farajoch, how were they to judge the people? Deuteronomy 16, 18. So now, with those six questions, right, or so, that addresses, right, kind of brings out more of the first verse, we could say the anchor verse for this 48th Torah portion, for this sabbatical study right here, for this manna, in manna, right, what is it? It's the angel bread for your angels, all right? So let's move forward. Question seven, what three characteristics must a judge, must a shofet possess, must a faraj, must a danya, right, possess. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Question 8. Why are bribes, or Ethiopically speaking, the bribes are known as gubo, gubo. Some of the them who might have had the opportunity to go forward to visit Judah land, visit Ethiopia and converse, might have heard or have reason with certain Ethiopians. You know, many Ethiopians, modern post-imperial, we say post-godless creeping coup in 74, 75 Ethiopian, like nowadays, Zemanawi, Ethiopia, Yawiyanoch, Abzanioch, you know, most of them, I find, you know, speaking about the political situation, what's going on and corruption, often mention gubo. And gubo refers to bribes, right? You can write that down as, you know, some of the Amharic words that we go over and some of the Amharic words that we have learned and also disseminate and share and point out a little bit of their context, right, within Jah's way, within the holy culture, within our history, of course, within the scrolls and the scriptures. So, question eight, and we're now at verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 16. Why are bribes, also known as gubo, why are bribes considered a grave offense in matters of justice? Deuteronomy 16:19 reference. Question nine. Why is the word justice repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 16:20? In Deuteronomy 16:20, why is the word justice, tzedek, tzedek, justice, justice, thou shalt follow, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, thou shalt follow in the sense of thou shalt pursue, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Why is that word, tzedek, as in Melchizedek, tzedek, why is that word repeated? What's the item reason meant on that? All right. Question 10. What was the goal of the law, of Jah law, of Torah for the people? Why a legal code? These two connected with question number 10. Tiake, Bamarinya, Tiake. Tiake, question, Bamarinya, Tiake. What is the goal of Torah for Ha'am, for Ha'am, for the people, for Hizbu, for his people? And why a legal code, or we could say a judicial code? Question number 11. Why did Jah prohibit trees from being planted near the altar? Deuteronomy 16:21. Why did Jah prohibit trees from being planted near the altar? 12, question number 12, were, quote, sacred pillars, in this sense we could say, biblically speaking, like obelisk, right, or stelas, right, sacred pillars. Why were sacred pillars always forbidden, it is said, to the Jewish or the Judahish, right, people? Or why are they forbidden, right? The question here is, why were they always forbidden to the Jewish people? Deuteronomy 16:22. Question number 13. Why is the law, Jah law, against offering a blemished sacrifice mentioned in connection with the appointment of judges, for the appointment of the shoftim, the farajoch? Deuteronomy 17:1. Question number 14. What was the penalty for engaging in personal idolatry? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 7. This is question 14. What was the penalty for engaging in personal idolatry? And as a connective question, we'd like to put this forward to the Chabarim. Let's get a definition, right, according to the scriptures, of idolatry in spirit and in truth. What is idolatry? So we can better understand even the context of this question, engagement in personal idolatry. Question 15. Is astrology a form of idolatry, according to Deuteronomy 17:3? Question 16. Why was the testimony of a single witness or one witness insufficient to establish the truth about a legal matter? Deuteronomy 17:6. Question taken again. Why was the testimony of a single witness, of one witness, insufficient to establish the truth about a legal or lawful matter? Question 17. Why did the responsibility of beginning an execution fall to the accusing witnesses? According to Deuteronomy 17:7, why did the responsibility of beginning an execution fall to the accusing witnesses? Why? Question 18. What was the penalty for what is called edim zomamim? Zomamim. Edim, edim zomamim. We would always say edim shekarim. Right, shekara shekarim, but here it says adim or adim zomamim, which is a way of referring to false witnesses, or those witnesses which plotted, which how do you call them in court? Colluded their witness, colluded. And there's an interesting reference in the Kivra Neges, the Queen of Sheba and only son Menelik. Forget exactly the chapter, but maybe one of the Chabarim can get it, or we'll get it in the break, and maybe in the Mishnah bring it forward. Concerning, I think it's Carmen, some named Carmen. There are these false witnesses that had lied, and there is a reference there within what we refer to as one of our Ethiopic Talmud, right, or Timharit teaching. Give us a teaching of it. We don't want the Babylonian. You know what I'm saying? We went on Babylon, confusion, the teaching of His Majesty. So, once again, question 18, what was the penalty for adim zomamim, or false witnesses, or adim shekarim, adim shekar, or adim hashekar, in a sense, adim hashekar, or witnesses of a lie, witnesses of a falseness, or adim zomamim, witnesses who had colluded their testimonies, had pre-prepared their test so that it would agree, so that they could falsely convict someone. Question number 19. What is a Beit Din? What is a Beit Din? What is a Beit Din? Question 20. If a case proved too difficult for a local court, what was required? If a case proved too difficult for a local court, what was required? Deuteronomy 17 and 8. Question 21. What does the word Sanhedrin mean? Question 22. What was the Sanhedrin katana? What was the Sanhedrin katana, Sanhedrin katana? Question 23. What was the Sanhedrin gadola, Sanhedrin gadola, or the great Sanhedrin, and the katana, the small Sanhedrin? Question 24. Is a court with just one, or with only, we word it as, is a court with only one judge valid? Is a court with only one judge valid? Question 25. When were courts required to be in session? When were courts required to be in session? Question 26. Why is appointing an unqualified judge paramount to erecting an idol? Why is appointing an unqualified judge paramount, or to say the equivalent to, the same as erecting an idol? Question 27. What is semicha? What is semicha? What is semicha? Semicha. Question 28. What were some of the responsibilities of the great Sanhedrin, or the Sanhedrin Gadola? What were some of the responsibilities of the great Sanhedrin? Question 29. Why did Jah originally command a great Sanhedrin, a great Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Gadola, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 10 to 11? Question 30. What is a Zaken Mamre? What is a Zaken Mamre? According to Deuteronomy 17, verses 12 to 13. Question 31. When did the great Sanhedrin lose its authority to inflict capital punishment, which is to say the death penalty, the death sentence? When did the Sanhedrin Gadola, when did the great Sanhedrin lose its authority to inflict capital punishment? Question 32. Why was Ha'adon Yeshua, Yeshua's trial, quote-unquote trial, before the Sanhedrin illegal? Why was Ha'adon Yeshua's, quote, trial, end quote, more like a barbed wire, legally speaking, like a barbed wire act, right? But why was the trial of Jesus, of Jesus Christos, right, before the Sanhedrin illegal? Question 33. When was the great Sanhedrin abolished? When was the Sanhedrin Gadola abolished, the great Sanhedrin? Question 34. After the great Sanhedrin was abolished, how was Jewish Judaic law determined when a dispute arose among the sages, or among the Rebbeinot, the rabbis, the scholars, the elders, the sages? After the great Sanhedrin was abolished, how did the Yehuda people, the Yehuda-ish, right, people, or law, determine, how was it determined when a dispute arose? Question 35. Was Israel commanded to set a melech over them? According to Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 15, was Israel commanded to set a melech, a king, a negus, a king, a sovereign over them? Question 36. What qualifications were required of a melech, a king, a negus, a sovereign of Israel? What qualifications were required of a king of Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 15 to 20. Question 37. What special duty was given to Hamelech? What special duty was given to the Negus, the king, regarding HaTorah, regarding the law, regarding Jalor? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 to 19. Question number 38. What quality of heart must mark a true king of Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 17, 20. What quality of heart, heartical quality, must mark a true king of Israel? Question 39. If Hashem commanded, if Jah commanded a king for Israel, if Jah commanded a king, that kind of gives you a little bit of a hint to the answer of the previous question, but if Jah commanded a king for Israel, why was he angry when Ha'am, Hizbu, the people, asked for a melech, a negus, a king, a sovereign during the days of Samuel, Nabiu, Samuel the prophet, according to 1 Samuel 8 and 7. Question number 40. 40th question. Who first prophesied that Israel would have a melech, would have a negus, would have a sovereign? Who first prophesied that Israel would have a king? Reference, Genesis 49, verse 10. Question 41. Why did Shlomo HaMelech Negusa Solomon, why did his heart go astray? Why did King Solomon's heart go astray? Question 42. Ultimately, who is Israel's king? Ultimately, who is Israel's melech? Who is Israel's negus? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Very good reference to the answer for that. Question number 43. How were the Levim, the Levites, to make their living in Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. For question 43, which is, how were the Levites, the Lewim, the Lewawiyan, to make their living in Israel? Question 44. Did all the Lewim, the Lewawiyan, the Levites serve at the sanctuary, Mikdash, the sanctuary in Israel? Deuteronomy 18:6-8. Question number 45. When Israel entered the land, were they forbidden to learn about the abhorrent customs of the seven Canaanawian nations, the seven Canaanite nations? Deuteronomy 18:9. Question 46. What horrifying practice was associated with, quote, Molech, end quote, worship? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Question 47. What connection is there between Gehenna and Molech? What connection is there between Gehenna and Molech? And Molech is like to say false king, like Melech, and we have Molech, all right? Question 48. What is Kesem? What is Kesem or divination? Deuteronomy 18:10. Question 49. What is a soothsayer? Deuteronomy 18:10. Question 50. What is an enchanter? Deuteronomy 18:10. Question 51. What is Kesef? What is Kesef, Slika? What is Kesef? What is Kesef or sorcery? Deuteronomy 18:10. Question 52. What is a charmer? Deuteronomy 18:11. Question 53. What is a medium, a wizard, and a necromancer? Deuteronomy 18:11. Question 54. How does Jah describe all these occultic practices? Deuteronomy 18:12. Question 55. Instead of relying on the so-called occult, like the so-called hidden, right, that which is hidden, how were the people, how were his people, to hear the voice of Jah and discern the way to walk, the way to trod, the way to progress? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 13-15. Question 56. What was unusual about Moses as a prophet of Jehovah? What was unusual about Moshe as a Nabiyah of Yahuwah? Numbers chapter 12, verses 6-8. Question 57. How is Ha'adon, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the prophet, like Moses? How is Yeshua, the prophet, like Moses? Deuteronomy 18:15. Question 58. What was the test of a false prophet, and what was to be his fate? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20-22. What was the test of a false prophet, and what was to be his fate? Question 59. What protection did someone who accidentally killed another have under Jah's legal system? What protection did someone who accidentally killed another and other have under the Judaic legal system, Jah's legal system, Jah's judicial system? Question 60. How many, quote, cities of refuge, end quote, were given to the Lewim, Lewawiyan, Levites, and where were they located? question 61. If the Sanhedrin in a city of refuge determined that a man murdered his brother in malice, as they would say, in cold blood or in malice, what was to be done? Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 12 to 13. Question 62. What was to be done to a, quote, corrupt witness, end quote, in a trial? What was to be done to a corrupt witness in a trial? Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. Question 63. Is it ever permissible to be fearful in battle against Jah's enemies? Is it ever permissible to be fearful in battle against Jah's enemies? Deuteronomy 20:1. Question number 64. What was HaKohen, the priest, required to do before Israel engaged in a battle? What was HaKohen, the Kohen, the priest, required to do before Israel engaged in the battle? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 2 to 4. Question 65. What promise did Hashem give the armies of Israel? What promise did Jah give the armies, the Tzavaot of Israel? Deuteronomy 20, chapter 20, verse 4. Question 66. When was a soldier exempt from engaging in battle? When was a soldier exempt from engaging in battle? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 5 to 8. Question 67. How was Israel to fight nations in battle, other than the seven Canaanite nations that had infiltrated the promised land, that had infiltrated the land grant? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 to 18. Question 68. When Israel besieged a city, what was required? When Israel besieged a city, what was required? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 19 to 20. Question 69. What happens if someone discovers a murder victim? What happens if someone discovers a murder victim in the field, but the identity of the victim, the identity of the victim is unknown? Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 to 9. Question 70. When does the heavenly court judge quickly? When does the heavenly court, truly the supreme court, judge quickly? When? Question number 71. What commandment helps you sleep and rest better? What commandment helps you, the I and I sleep a little bit better? Which commandment? And last but not least question here, question number 72. How are I and we, Rastafari, to always judge others? How are we to always judge others? Precept, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Those, my fellow Chabarim, my brothers and sisters and the mothers, and of course the children. Yes, brother, listen, Shama'ah, to the words of Abba, Hashem Yeshua. Those are the questions there. Hopefully we'll get into more of the details. Make I and I move forward. The Kosela moment right here. A reflection. Shalom Chabarim. Shalom. This is your brother, the Ras Ayadonis Tefari of the Lion of Judah Society of His Imperial Majesty. Yehuda Moa Anbesa Machaber. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
story.
Your Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
Bazikan inya gzat must lalaw hulu no yeminnagero.
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
Yes, I, a word from I and I, sponsor, yes, I, Kamal Al-Talasi. Going to light up with this Haftarah, the prophet's reading here for the fourth of the seven Shabbats of comfort, as well as the Brit Chadasha reading right here, here, here. But first this here, reflecting on the 72. Reflecting on the 72 questions, getting some of the answers coming forward, forward.
This is real. Injustice are where them really need overall. The way them deal with mankind, all me can't start bad. Justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind, ayo. And that's in a go cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. No, no pretty boy in a no priest Nike boot. She no pass for no topper, she no cry for no doof. She said those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. We're falling sorry, sorry. Ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting some sense to mania. And get up every day, them want to run this arena. Extra, extra, read all about it. That's a youth in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't beat and can't do without it, 645 going to scout it. Oh no, the youth them balling out. You dig it, the youth them balling out. Hey, youth them calling out. You dig it, the youth them balling out. Well, justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind, all me can't stand by. Justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Listen, no I'm on this day Jack and Jill went up the hill to sell some marijuana. Fuck up the bed, they broke Jack on and Jill came tumbling after. Think about beef, she's out of sheep, too deep in a departure. And if one tried that again, it's going to bring disaster. Kings and kings and the lords of lords ever lost, they never last. Inspired, I and I to be a microphone blaster. Men are gonna bow down to no slave master. Let the youth them first and ask the questions them after. Now justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind and woman stand by. Justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Mention of a cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. No, no pretty boy in a no Chris Nike boot. She no pass for no dapper, she no cry for no doof. She shed those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. They're falling sorry, sorry. Ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting down sense media. And get up every day, them off they run this arena. Now extra, extra, read all about it. Get a youth in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't feed and can't do without it, the big 45 going to scout it. Oh no.
Righteousness was saying. every ghetto youth, stand up and play a part. Stand up for something, or you're gonna fall for anything. Listen to me. Righteousness, we say. Righteousness, we say. Every ghetto youth, stand up and play a part. Stand up for something, or you're gonna fall for anything. Listen to me. Righteousness. Never give up, you see it. Never give up. Fight the fight, walk the walk, talk the talk, you see it. Try and we feel, and we try and we feel. But what? One day we're gonna conquer, cause you never feel like yet, and we still have light, and we still have fight the fight. Confident in the victory, good over evil, yeah.
So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. When I say more, you say fire, more!
Fire them!
Yeah!
Well, I do missionary soldiers in the army. Who no righteous apostles serving the Almighty could rally round that room, rally round the justice cell, cause that soon I must go down, and justice wear the crown, justice be ready now.
Justice, now eat it!
Because Babylon must go down, word, sound, and power. Hear, hear, hear. Writing of the Haftarah, the prophets reading Isaiah chapter 51, focus verses, verses 12 to chapter 52, verse 12. And here, as we mentioned already, we're at the fourth, right, the fourth of the seven Shabbats of comfort in the year, in the season. Right, the reason for the season right here, the fourth of the seven, the Haftarahs of comfort, the Torah readings of comfort, foretelling of the restoration of Jah people and the coming of the Messianic era, the Adis Zemin, the New Age. And in this Shabuah, this reading here, Jehovah, he promised to personally comfort Jah people. That he who be, we be from ancient times, he gave his yea, his amen, his word to personally comfort Jah people and restore the glory of Zion, even the African Zion, despite that then, back then, the present sufferings and even the exile. So here, here, here is the I, even I am he, the Anoki, Anoki, who? The I and I have seen this in the scripts, even as the I and I, as in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12, I. You see in the KJV, some versions that have even and italicization. They add the italics to try to give sense of some of the raw reading, but the I and I sense, I and I am he, Anoki, Anoki, who. Here, here, here. First things first, the bracha right here, the blessing before the reading from the prophets, the second of the trinity of readings, here, here, here.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar b'nebiim tobim v'ratzah b'debreihim ha'ne'amarim ba'emet. Baruch atah Adonai ha'bocher b'torah u'moshe abdo ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art thee, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art thee, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Ja, Al-Selassie,
Book of the Prophet, Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 12, to chapter 52, verse 12. That's in my Ab, what will it manifest to Kadus, Ahadum Lach. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest Yahweh thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of thy fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loose, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am Yahweh that Elohim Buruku, that divideth the sea, whose waves roar, Yahweh Tzevaot, is his name, Buruku. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of Yahweh the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come to thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in the net. They are all full of the fury of Yahweh, Buruku, the rebuke of thy Elohim. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Master Yahweh, Buruku, and thy Elohim that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body at the ground and at the street to them that went over. Amen. Amen. Chapter 52, verse 1 to 12. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahweh, Buruku, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Master Yahweh, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day I am he that doeth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, shalom, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith to Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when Yahweh Buruku shall bring again Zion, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh Buruku have comforted his people. He have redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Eloheinu. Buruku, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for Yahweh Buruku will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. Amen. Leaving you with love, peace, and blessings. In the name of Kedemari, Haile Selassie, Negus, Neges, Ethiopia, King of Kings, Jah Almighty. Bless him, your soul. Better back to
hell, apart from me. look at this apostasy. Can all these things really be?
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 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 Selah.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana. Trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The world and they that
dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea,
he had founded it on the sea,
and established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jacob?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands,
he that hath
and a pure heart,
and pure heart,
who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity,
up his
nor sworn
to vanity.
He hath received the blessing from Jah-Jah, and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say who?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
The King of glory.
Jah strong and mighty.
Jah Rastafari.
Jah mighty in battle.
I say who? Mighty in battle, mighty in war.
Who is the King? I say who?
Lift up your head, so he gates. Even lift them up.
Everlasting doors. Be lifted up.
And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory. Yes, the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
Emperor
Haile Selassie. He is the King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Jah Rastafari.
King of glory.
Emperor Haile Selassie. Emperor of Ethiopia, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Conquering Lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself Light of the World. Rastafari, he is the King of Glory.
Rukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha Olam Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarut Shel Habarit Ha Hadasha Rukata Adonai Notain Habarit Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi. Slavia.
The whole place is due for help.
The Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan, renewed covenant reading for RSS number 48, Shoftim, Judges. From John chapter 1 verse 19 through 27 and Acts chapter 3 verse 22 through 23. We begin B'Shem Ha'ab V'Habein V'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be who He be the One. John chapter 1 verse 19 Yotet verse 20 Kaf Wezot Edut Yohanan Bishlach HaYehudim Kohanim Ulewim Me Yerushalayim Lishol Oto Mihu Wehu Toda Welo Keched Ki Higi Lemor Anoki Aineni HaMashiach. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not HaMashiach, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they to him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of Yahuwah, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said to him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Mashiach, that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Acts chapter 3, verse 22, Kaf Beit, verse 23, Kaf Gimel. Hein Moshe Amar El Aboteinu, Nabi Yakim Lakem Yahweh Elohekem, Mikereb Achekem Kamoni, Alayu tishmaun kekol asher yidaber alaykim wehaya kol hanefesh asher lo tishma el hanabi hahu ve nekerta me ameha. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall Yahweh Elohim, shall the Lord your God raise up to you of your brethren like to me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakeramawi, khaili selasi, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Mesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos.
Coming on, I'm a coming, coming, coming on. Yeah, your soul is
Yes, yes, yes. Prophet rides again. Dennis, the Prince of Reggae Brown, right there, there, there. And here, 144, Psalm 144, Sabbath seal psalm, a baraka, a blessing for the days to come forward. In
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Let them miss it, Jaja. Rastafari, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of himself, my tent and the rebel exhibit, massacre on Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised. Yeah.
each other still, fulfilling his pledge to the people world. Remember Marcus, the Messiah gave him the day, that man the day, that man the day, the man that trotters. His prophecy
serving the Almighty, could rally round Jah's throne, rally round the justice sound, cause that soon I must go down, and justice wear the crown, justice be ready now.
Justice, now read it!
Very interesting when you look at Ignatius' autobiography and the book one where he talks about gradually. I've referred to it many times. I think it's a very important, the introduction. Yeah, because there's a preface and an introduction, you know. Not even getting into the content, but just like the opening part. Because he lays out his kind of like, what do you say, premise, in a sense, his perspective. It's almost like when you're reading an orderly writing, like we said, like Hadabarim. Like Midbar means words, but can mean words either properly ordered or words in the confusion. Like what the Israelites kind of show that they were in the wilderness and instead of ordering the words right, that's why all those examples of what they were saying and how they said it and how they took things like out of context and everything, that caused their realities, like because of how they were speaking. That's what I was saying with TJIF and the commentary where the blessings precede the curses. Or it says blessing, baraka, ukalala, and curses or consequences, the blessings precede. So His Majesty laying out a very orderly, that's why that's what I'm still in awe of, but not just gazing, but actually seeking to receive and download even little by little, because His Majesty's key word is gradually. And when I look at development, what they call development today in Ethiopia, it seems a rush. It seems like they're trying to outdo. It's like they're still in a competition with His Majesty instead of learning from Him and looking at their reality and doing it in a, how can I say, it seems to be a chaotic. And then when we look at who is the one who really kind of initiated that was Melis. And Melis was a chief friend enemy. You know, it's like what I saw Melis doing. Melis, those plans that His Majesty and His Majesty's government had already laid out, you know, what they could do in their time and then what would be remain suggestions and you know, like what would we say, suggestions, recommendations, findings, reports were left for future generations. Now the whole socialist, you know whoring after socialism with the Derg and everything like that, that kind of threw off things, you know, for 20-30 years. So when Melis came in, after Melis and the Tigris from the north, you know, came down and did what they did, and the Eritrea, all that kind of went through, he kind of focused on, I think he already had these ideas, you know, focus on these developmental ideas, which I think most Ethiopians were in agreement with, regardless of their tribes or whatever, In other words, that things need to improve, you know? And even there was the concerns about, like, land rights and everything like that. But the Grand Dam, for example, the Grand Dam, when was that? I got to look over the logistics of that, when that was started, you know, when the work for that was started. But it was something that a lot of the big plans, at least, you know, the infrastructure, the highways, addies, you know, I don't know whether the scope was, I think that they are exaggerating the scope. And because there's no king or there's no council, you know what I'm saying? Because the kind of, there's hierarchy. I think Ethiopians understand that hierarchy, even if that hierarchical command and control, even if it's more like on a little like personal individual or a little group level. But I think overall, it's like Melis, he tried to be that. So while Melis was saying things out the side of his mouth against His Majesty, he was actually, he and his people were studying His Majesty's plans and seeking to capitalize on it. That's when some articles came out, and I think Ethiopian researchers, others, started to reveal that, hey, you know, a lot of these development things are ideas that Haile Selassie and the previous, you know, imperial governments already had in mind to do. So it's almost like after 30 or more years, certain things were now back on the front page. But then bringing in all these different nations to kind of speed up the process, you know what I'm saying? I think that's where the progress is becoming immoral. As much as that progress must be moral, you know? And I saw an Ethiopian CM, Constitutional Monarchy, make that post where they show, like, you know, poor people over here, look at this new building they're going to put in IDs. What is it, office building? Is residential housing? It's a hotel? What is it? And then look over here. Look, wow, look how they have this city. They're building up like all the other cities in the world, right, on the earth. And but over here, poor people are still, you know, and that reminds me of why it's massive gradually, because development in that time was almost like hand in hand. It wasn't that we're going to just try to modernize this as fast as possible, but we're going to modernize what truly is needed to be modernized now, because this being developed or done would help another. It was like hand in hand. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like go for self. It seems like a lot of like kind of go for self now, you know? And although there was certain corruptions, you know, because among people, people is what bring corruptions about. Even if you have the best government or even the best, you could say, king or ministers, if there's corruption amongst the people and the people bow to it, that's why the Torah is so harsh on some things, and it's not just mentioned to the kings, the judges, and the rulers, and the administrators. It's mentioned to everybody. It's almost like the responsibility on everyone from the peasant to the regular terrazzo to the king or to the ministers and the nobles is the same. You know what I mean? It's not like over here where they say, like, call the police. You know what I'm saying? It's more like handle John's business and call the authorities, but not like to forsake doing your part to make sure justice. So it means that you or I or ones may have to act until the other authorities get there, because none of the people also are authorized. You see, that's why I want to talk about like the murderer or somebody accused of murder or the slayer, manslayer, like manslaughter, right? What the Almighty shows is that He is not trying to so-called force human beings not to have their feelings and emotions about things. He wants them to really get an understanding, right, and really come to maturity and grow and get to know what it is. So when they seek to put away something, it's like with clear conscience. And so therefore, it's not like almost, in other words, it's like not based on a guilt trip. a lot of people think like the Bible or the scripts, you know, Yahweh is like about a guilt trip. That's, I think, the way the men and the people who kind of fall short. That was another audio we was going to share, and everything from babes, the working name is from babes to maturity. And as we had went through Hebrews, it was like really an inspiration. We was going to share something else when we began off recording it. But as we started to speak, it was like Adonai commandeered, you know, my mouth like the speaker box. Almost like a sound system, like somebody grabs a mic. or you have the mic in your hand and they're standing right next to you. You know? And they're speaking, but you're speaking, and in a sense you're speaking like they kind of steer, like he steered my reasoning. And sometimes when that happens for myself, as like you could say the first person, the person who's like witnessing this, it's kind of interesting. It's like what the scriptures speak about, like it says his spirit testifies of our spirit that we're children. And that's also an interesting theme, because in this Torah portion we actually are called, he says, and you are the children, you know, of Jah. You know what I mean? I mean, we're the children of Exiavi. We're Adonai's children. And this is kind of interesting with our sons and Elohim and that whole connection, because of this righteous law or instruction, direction. So with the manslaughter or the manslayer, if family caught up with the person who even accidentally killed their family member, right? They, in the heat, what they call the heat of the moment, they call it a crime of passion, I think, in the Gentile society. That is understood. You know how people would say, well, you shouldn't really do that. You could say all of that. It's like sometimes in those kind of movies or dramas, or sometimes it's kind of brought forward like that so people might know this. It's like somebody else would tell you, oh, man, you should not have done that. You should be cool, man. And then when it happens to them, they're all a rage, and you'd be like, yo, I think you said to be cool. And they said, well, that's different. And for job blessedness, you're trying to figure out, please explain to me, how is that different, nigga? You just told me when I was raging, you said, no. Almost like somebody says something about you, and you respond. And they say, oh, no, man, be cool. And then the same person now says something about them, and now they're ready to jump at them. I'm like, wait, hold on for a moment. I thought you... So that's the same thing with the whole manslaughter. When talking about the manslaughter, they're saying that even if it was an accident, right, that the near of kin, if it's on site. You know, like when people say, we say, on site, nigga, it's on site. It's on site. And you might be like, well, yo, let me talk to you. It was an accident. You know, I'm sorry. None of that flies. And then I was thinking, I said, Chan, why didn't John say, hey, you know what? Y'all shouldn't feel that way. You know what I'm saying? You really shouldn't be feeling that way, because maybe you should listen to him, because it might have really been an accident. No, that's what the scripture calls cause. That's with cause. That's not chinam, like hana chinam, like for grace, for free, you know, in that sense, you know, like without cause. No, that's cause. That's what even the Messiah said. He said, if you're angry with your brother without cause. Now, some people would say, well, it doesn't matter because they have this Western Gentile Fugazi Christianity. You know, Fugazi, Fugazi, because I think Fugazi also is an Italian word, Roman, so there's that connection there. But it really has to do with those Fugaza, I think, like a French word. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but in Vietnam, the French were, Vietnam was under the French. So the French were those Gentiles. Remember the times of the nation, the time of the Gentiles? Well, those Gentiles that were over there, but the Vietnamese was beating their ass. So they passed it over to their fellow Gentiles to really almost like prove also the whole idea of the times of the Gentiles. So the Americans came in. And you'll see that America did that since World War II. America kind of picked up the slack for their other Gentile brothers, you know, or sisters, however one seeks to, the country sometimes are feminine, at least within the typology. But you see where the French had to leave because the French were getting their ass beat. But they came up this word, some type of bomb or something like that. Fugaza was this kind of improvised kind of bombs at the Vietnamese, these traps and everything that was like killing mad soldiers. So when the Americans heard the word Fugaza or something like that, they heard it as Fugazi. And they broke it down as an acronym because the military kind of functions on a lot of acronyms. So, you know, you have, for example, F-U-G-A-Z-I, you know, which stood for F-U-C-K, you know, when we say like ucked up, F-U, right, Fugazi, oh man, I forgot what the acronym they had for Fugazi, but it was interesting because in Fugazi Christianity, I'll bring that word up, but just to make this point, in Fugazi Christianity, they say it's unconditional. But whether we look at the Old Testament or the New Testament, you know what I mean? Whether we look at the Old Testament or New Testament, there's always conditions. You know what I mean? Doesn't it say that we should have faith? Can we receive if we don't admit, like if we don't credit? Like, do people get extension of credit if they have no good credit? Like if the people see, hey, the person have no good credit, do they, this is what they normally do, they extend credit to somebody who is not a credit worthy? You know, no, they don't. Right, so there is conditions. I mean, there's always conditions. And it's really important just to, you know, recognize that right here. Here, I want to get that Fugazi thing right here. Fugazi, I'll put etymology, all right, because there's a, but I can move forward over here. Give me one moment just to find this right here. Well, in Italian, they say, some claim that in Italian it means fake. There was this Wikipedia page, not for the group, not just some band. I see all that stuff around here. You know, they have this band. There used to be this Wikipedia page that had, okay, here we go. Yeah, Fugazi. I said, what is it? Fucked up, got ambushed, zipped in. So F-U-G-A-Z-I. So it was fucked up, got ambushed, zipped in. A body bag. But then the French had Fugaza, which was a landmine, or there were flame Fugazis. Fugazis, they were used extensively in the Korean and Vietnam War. Then English has Fugacious, and then they say that it's a derivation from an Italian word Fugazi, which means fake, allegedly, fake. You know, so there's a military use of it, so that's why sometimes people will have, you know, Fugazi, you know, some of these virus, like in The Wolf of Wall Street and everything. But Fugazi Christianity is like fake. You basically say fake Christianity. Yeah, go through. So
yes. A little bit more connecting His Majesty's word sound, you know, went off on a little tangent right there. But about to go into the grace period. Hopefully we can touch on some of those questions right there, 72. Kind of a compendium of all the laws, touching on some very vital things to know in sustainable repatriation. But on that particular theme, you know, of the murderer, difference between the murder, one having that hatred towards someone. That's what's very interesting is that if one is, say, in the vicinity of someone else who happens to die, or, you know, and it's a death, maybe accidental death, but if the one next to them or the one with them hated them, if it's known that they hated them, then they'd be charged that crime. Now, if one had done something, say, accidentally, one had to flee to a refuge city that it was forbidden for any Israelite to go in there. So even if a blood relative, the blood avenger would be the relative and they have kin. even they would feel like it, they know it would be basically a death sentence for them to violate like a city of refuge. But if someone thought that in their own righteousness, they could explain to the family members or the ones and ones whose family members, in their opinion, they died at your hand, even though it might actually have been ruled an accident. For one to seek to do it their own way and not go through the central authority, the teaching of His Majesty and the priest justice system, the order, that would basically get them on site. But as far as the murderer, there was the ancient precept that there wasn't someone outside that you go to. That would be like hiring a mercenary. It was on the family to seek justice for one another. And it's interesting that Jehovah doesn't even speak to that, even understanding that even with the words of the king, many things have been abolished, but the death penalty has not been abolished. But there's certain crimes, even the New Testament says, like, don't suffer so much. Suffer for righteousness' sake. Like, you suffer in the sense of the thing that you used to do, now you're turning to Yahweh. And so that suffering is helping you to move away from what's causing the suffering to Yahweh, truth, and life. But he says, don't suffer as a murderer. Interesting, the new covenant, it shows that condition right there, one who has that hatred and without cause. Here, here, here. Little Selah tune before we ride up in the last Iowa. Here, here, here on the Sunday service. Bring in the Levi.
Murderer. Murderer. Sing it, do da do da do da do da do da do da do da. See. Tell them already, we have to tell them again. Tell them already, we have to tell them again. Tell them already, we have to tell them again. Them a murderer. Them a murderer. See, them come in on me area, want to kill off the youth. No dress up in a jacket and them dress up in a tie. Come across house, want to tell the lies. Them a murderer. Aye. Tell them already, we have to tell them again. Tell them already, we have to tell them again. Cause them hopping at them cheap ones, come kick out my tree. Coming at them red ones to lick off my head. Coming to my lane, want to fly out my brain. Them dress up in a jacket and them dress up in a tie. Want to deprive I man from my rights. Them a murderer. Them a murderer. Aye. Watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them a come. Watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them a come. Them a vampire. Then we suck out your blood. Watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them a come. Watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them, watch them a come. Them a murderer. Aye.
Justice, justice, shalt thou follow.
Yes, rude boy. Many ways to die. Choose one. Boom shock. Right. Anybody bounce on some blind people just got to gather around and we'll kill you. Boom shock. Give it on star. They say the youth, they not the ghetto, them each up. Some get red and your man, and some get gun rub. Down off of them young, feed them gun, them gun pick up. And when them come back up here, go shot them on the cup. Oh! Life it was a thing, come out they could not buy. But a rich man would not live, but a poor man would not die. But anywhere you go, you where the people, them a cry, I can't stand it. Boo! No, 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 I can't stand it. Bim! And no. For a life it was a thing that money could not buy. For a rich man would not live and poor man would not die. Cause anywhere you go, you get the people, them a cry, I can't take it. Boo! No, 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 I can't stand it, right? No, 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 me say me us lost, but me a the boss. Me co lost, but me a the boss. Come with me, find me, go, me a go, make me cross. Me co lost, but me a the boss, I can't stand it. Boo! No, 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 I can't stand it. Living as a poor British, a wicked little crime. Come living
cause I'm poor, it is a wicked little crime. Me can't get no sugar, but me old one lime. But due to the time that me can't get no soup, but Jah give me little hope. How you mean? Say man, I can't stand it. Oh, in town a midnight robbery, they lick him with a SLR. Shocking on me neighborhood, when Billy Boy lost his life. Hang down your head, murder, hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, murder, boom, boom, you're gonna die.
Your for health and strength in daily food. I praise thy name, O Jah, though I can never ever be ungrateful. I will never. For health and strength in daily food. I praise thy name, O Jah, though I can never ever be ungrateful.
Hear this now. Well, I say some no member Jah, till them in a danger. Well, some no member Jah, till them want to be doctor.
The 72 questions, don't have time to go through all of the 72 questions, but to get a good overview. So we have the Shoftim, Farajoch, and Amharic, the judges, the Shoftim, and the connection of the Shoftim in Psalm 82 and also elsewhere in Torah and Exodus with their role as and operating as agents of the Elohim and called as a collective body, not individually, the Elohim. So here we have Shoftim in the Hebrew, judges or magistrates. It's the plural form of the singular Shofet. In the Amharic we have Farajoch or a Faraj. In some of the older usage of the Afro-Shemitic language we have like the Don and Danya, like Don Hoy. Then we get the John Hoy, like that chief judge or magistrate. Generally, the judges were esteemed Lewim, Levites, or scholars and sages of HaTorah, Jah's direction instruction, who were entrusted to discern and interpret HaElohim, HaElohim's Torah, his direction and instruction, and to settle disputes for the people, the role of the Shoftim in all of the gates. Now, we have an audio. It's probably pretty long for right now. We could save it for the forthcoming. but it was recorded previously, and seeing what's going on now in various communities against I and I and we, Rastafari judges and officers in the gates. So we have Shotarim, the Shotarim, originally referred to as overseers or officers. This title is used in Egypt, the Shoters, the Shatters, the Shoter, the Shotarim, overseers or officers. In Mitzrayim, we find it in Exodus chapter 5, verses 6 and 10, and Exodus chapter 5, verses 14 to 19, referred to as the Shotarim. Now, during the years in the Midbar in the desert, the word was applied to the 70 elders. They were the 70 elders of Yisrael who shared the weight of governance with Moshe, with Moses. Recall in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. Later on in the tribe, they became associated with military, religious, and civil officers. So later on, these overseers and officers, even as in Mitzrayim, the word applied to the 70 elders of Israel, then later on became associated with the military and the religious, the spirituality, and civil, the officers of the state, of the government, or even of the king, who enforce HaTorah. Now, to that question of who first suggested the idea and the idea of judicial system to Moshe? Well, according to Exodus chapter 18, verses 14 to 26, it was Moses' chotein, his father-in-law, Yitro, the Midianite. Some say the Ethiopian-Midian connection right there, but Jethro, no doubt Jethro, descendant from Moses, from Abraham. Abraham had a third wife, and we see Midian being one of the children, also a Sheba being one of the children as well. So that link there with the Ethiopian connection. But it was Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, who had first suggested the idea, basically gave that seed of a judicial system to Moshe, because Moses was adjudicating everything by himself from morning to evening. And Jethro, his father-in-law, you know, brought him up on that, you know, reasoned with him on that, how that was low tov, that was not tawab, that was not good. Next question, just some of the basic questions. Why did Hailahim, the power, want to appoint judges and officers throughout all the cities of the land, according to Deuteronomy 16:18? Well, the shalom, the peace, the well-being, the welfare of the theocratic. Here we have a theocratic, the divine theocracy, a theocratic state. It required that Ha'elohim, that the power, that Ha'elohim, that Jah, Jehovah's Torah, he who be, we be, is a teaching of his majesty, was upheld, and transgressors were punished, because the welfare of a theocracy and a theocratic state required that Jah's law was upheld and transgressors were punished. The sages, they admitted that the good, like the fortune or the baraka, the goodness of Yisrael, it depended upon the behavior of its judges. And therefore, another connection to the Elohim spoken of in Psalm 82 in the context of the psalm, corrupt judges arraigned. So the sages even realized and recognized that the goodness, the wellness of Yisrael, of Jah's people, depended upon the behavior of its judges. They interpret the opening of the verse in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, Herut, the opening of the book, Ruth 1 and 1, it says, in the days when judges, shoftim, when judges ruled, Shefot, that means the judgment, ha shoftim, the judgment was of the judges. There was a famine in the land. In the days when the judges ruled, Shefot, ha shoftim, there was a famine in the land, in Ruth, in Herut 1 and 1. What does this mean? that the judges were themselves judge. The judges were themselves judge. This is why the famine was decreed up on the land. So here, when even once asked the question, who causes famine, God or man, and even the Ethiopian famine, here it's the judges were themselves judged. This is why the famine was decreed upon the land. And then we have Psalm 11, verse 3, which gives us another link with this theocratic government idea. If the foundations were destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the foundation, the judges, those who uphold Jaloh HaTorah and the judgment of Ha'elohim, if that is undermined, then even those who are inclined to the right, the righteous, what can they do? Next question here, reasonment question. Who is responsible for appointing judges? Who is responsible? Well, the people themselves, the Jah people. Jah people themselves, they select qualified men to serve as judges based on their Jah-like character and their abilities as Torah, as sages and scholars of Jah word, of Jah glory, of the Bible. Later, this became a function of semicha, or ordination, like laying on of hands, semicha, like ordination, laying on hands from judicial ruling bodies. The commandment, we have a command here to appoint judges and officers, titain leka, titain leka, for you, titain leka, according to Deuteronomy 16:18. This implies that no judges or officers were to be regarded as, quote, above the law, end quote. None of them, none of I and I are above HaTorah, but rather were to function as agents of Ha'elohim, of Ha'elohim, thus having the name of Ha'elohim upon them, to deliver the downpress from the downpresser. Once again, the theme and the true context of Psalm 82 regarding the judges, regarding the Elohim. How were judges to judge the people? How were they to judge the people? Well, according to Deuteronomy 16:18, just chewing the cud right here, they were to judge according to Mishpat Tzedek. Mishpat Tzedek, righteous judgment. Righteous judgment, or judgment righteous. Mishpat Tzedek. They were to judge with righteous judgment. That is, according to the principles of Tzedakah. Tzedakah also in the Psalm 99, comes out as, I think, the word righteousness. Tzedakah also, in some cases, brings out the sense of charity. Tzedakah, a term, the term mishpat tzedek, it implies that a verdict, judgment, mishpat tzedek, righteous, that a verdict will benefit both parties involved. The wrong party will be given restitution, while the guilty party will be given an opportunity to do teshuvah, to repent, have a change of heart, a change of mind. What three characteristics must a judge possess? Now moving to the next verse, Deuteronomy 16:19, add 400 years there. But Deuteronomy 16:19, what three characteristics must a judge, Shofet, Danya, or I would say John Hoy, a judge, must a judge possess? They must not be unfair or partial. They must not show partiality, and they must not take bribes. They must not be unfair, unrighteous, go against John's direction and instruction, must not show partiality to whether the poor or the rich or to anyone or respect unduly, especially in judgment, show partiality, must look at both parties before Jaloh as Jaloh be. And they must not take bribes or receive gifts that may swerve their heartfulness. This implies, of course, that they revere Hashem, the name, Yahweh, Ha Elohim, Ha Elohim, the power, and love, and this is the key, and love the truth, and love the truth. Why are bribes, Ethiopically or Amharic Gubo, considered a grave, instances, a grave offense in matters of justice? Why are bribes? Because a bribe is an attempt to persuade someone to judge or to rule in one's favor. And this is what will pervert the cause of the righteous and pervert the cause of justice and judgment. The sin, the uckery of accepting a bribe or a gubo will actually damage the judge's vision, that third eye being to see it, Yahweh, truth and life. Why is the word justice repeated in that key phrase, tzedek, tzedek terdof? Justice, justice shall thou follow. KJV says that which is altogether just or righteous, right, thou shalt do. So it brings it out differently, but in the Hebrew, Deuteronomy 16:20, tzedek, tzedek, the word justice or righteousness, justice is repeated twice. Why? The repetition of the word in the Hebrew, it signifies that one must pursue justice using just means. That means justice overtly, justice covertly, certainly not through deceptive or underhanded methods. In other words, like entrapments. We must pursue righteousness righteously, tzedek, tzedek, terdof, and never use a form of evil for a supposed good. For example, ones might say that, well, torture in obtaining information in war. Or some say, well, torture is good in obtaining information in war. According to the reading of Torah that I and I read, this would be against just judgment. What was the goal of the law for Jah people? What was the goal of the directions, instructions? And why a lawful, or one may call a legal code? Now, in speaking of HaTorah, in speaking of the Torah, in speaking of the law, John's direction, instructions, Proverbs 3:17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And what's interesting here in the season, we have Psalm 99, and in the Midrash, this quote right here is also quoted in connection with Torah. So Torah, just for ones and ones to know, Torah is conceived in the Hebrew as being of a feminine, you say polarity, a feminine energy, Torah. As the word says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law, the Torah of thy mother. Now it's interesting because I think it was 99 where this verse had come up, read, boom, right here. It says right here, when a man going along the way sees his enemy or his neighbor, depends on his perspective, his ass fall down under its burden, he goes forward, lends a hand, and helps his enemy or his neighbor in loading and unloading. Because here this brings out Psalm 99, the previous light psalm according to the royal order, Psalm 99, verse 4. Thou hast established equity. Thou hast ata, konanta, mesharim, equity, that which is yashar, upright. And then Rav Alexandri, he took these words to mean, thou, the I, hast established order. Ata, konantaha, konanta, konan, mekonen, konanta, Mesharim, establishing order in thy world. When a man has a claim against his neighbor, he appears with him before HaTorah, and therefore an Ionine Hebrew order before the Shoftim, that should have the Torah in their heart and mind, their word sound. And after both pledge themselves to accept what HaTorah decides, they make peace, shalom, reconciliation. Therefore, bringing out Psalm 99, verse 4, thou hast established equity, ata, konanta, mesharim. The I has established equity. Then it goes on to say this right here. that after, like, if a man, what makes a man do this? It's because of Torah. Because then both men, having made that peace, one man sees his enemy or his neighbor, or he has something against him, but then he sees him and see the ass or what he's doing, you know, he needs help. So he goes forward to help and to give him a hand. Then both men, they go to an inn, you know, or just seat up, sata seat up. And later, the latter says, so-and-so is my friend after all. And I thought that he was my enemy. They fall to talking. They begin chatting, reasoning with one another. And this is how shalom, peace, and reconciliation results between them. What was it that caused the two men to make peace and become friends, become chaverim? What was it? It was that the first man kept what is written in HaTorah, because the first man kept that which is written even in Shemot in Exodus 23 and 5. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee fallen down under its burden, thou shalt forbear to pass him by. You forbear the... No, thou shalt surely release it with him. You're not going to pass him by. You're going to help him release, you know, his donkey or that burden, according to Shemot, Exodus 23 and 5. This is the yoke of Torah given to call Yisrael. And goes on right here, the link with the 72, some of the 72 questions and answers of Torah, of John's law, it is written. And then here's a quote from Proverbs 3 and 7. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are shalom, are peace. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Accordingly, according to the fuller full of Psalm 99, the fourth verse, thou dost bring about justice and righteousness in Jacob. Refers to the verse we have in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. Now, these are the judgments. So what are the judgments of the judges? Exodus 21 and 1 says, now these are the judgments, ha-mishpatim, that thou shalt set before them, that the eyes shall put in their faces. So here, in asking the question, what was the goal of HaTorah, John's direction for John people? Why a legal code? Well, answer, speaking of HaTorah, Orit, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are shalom, are salam, are peace. Proverbs 3:17. The goal of HaTorah is the administration of justice, tzedek, tzedek. That is a state of shalom, of peace. Without HaTorah, there would be anarchy and destruction. Life, as people say, would be, quote, short, nasty, and brutish, end quote. The law, HaTorah, it functions as a restraint upon the yetzer hara, the inclination to evil, the yetzer hara, the hara, that which is evil, the yetzer, the inclination, the evil inclinations of the depraved, of the degenerate, the unregenerate human being. Now, Paul, St. Paul, Rav Shaul, he links this right here, even in the New Covenant scriptures, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. So it's interesting to see that Hebrew groundation, even in the Apostle Paul, when we come to the New Testament, the Renewed Covenant, the Brit Kadasha, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Why did Hailahim, the power, prohibit trees from being planted near HaMizbeah, the Meseuiah, the altar, in Deuteronomy 16:21? First, trees were planted in and around different heathen temples. And Hailahim, the power, El Elohe Yisrael, the true power of Israel, wanted no association to be made with these customs. Second, trees were planted simply to make the heathen, the other nations, national, their shrines more attractive. The juxtaposition of this commandment with the qualities required of a judge and of the shoftim in the previous verse is taken as a warning. There's a warning that is taken from here in the reading of the positive and negative commandments, but there's a warning to not appoint judges, shoftim, or farajoch, based on their external characteristics, such as somebody has good looks, or they have a particular status, or they're from a particular clan, so forth and so on. Remember when it spoke of in Deuteronomy 16:22, the sacred pillars? The sacred pillars? The question here from Hebrew for Christians was, were sacred pillars always forbidden to Jewish or to Jah people? Now, let's read the answer. It says, no. The sacred pillars or the obelisks, the howlet, you know, the circumcised howlet, at least of Israel and holy Ethiopia, but there's the other one, like the bull penis of ancient Egypt and everything, but they were not always forbidden to Jah people, right? Before HaTorah was given to Yisrael by the hand of Moshe, Jacob, the patriarch, he erected a matzeba. Some say matzeva, a pillar at the place called Bayit El, at the place called House of El, House of the Almighty, House of the Power, Beit El, Betel, after his dream in Bereshith in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. And later, Moshe, even Moses himself, Musa, he set up 12 pillars, 12, we could say, stelas, right? Howletoch, for the 12 tribes at Sinai. We have this in Shemot in Exodus chapter 24, verse 4. The practice of setting up the matzavas or the howlet, like the obelisk, like of Ethiopia, that particular practice, was forbidden after the uckery of the molten calf. We find that it was forbidden to the Israelites. So the patriarchs had done it. Jacob had done it. Moses even had done it out in the wilderness. But then after the uckery of the molten calf, falsely called the golden calf, it was forbidden. Note that the sages associate a sacred pillar, some say, with a sinful judge, something that Hiob hates. Couple more right here, just to go into some of the answers, right? Why is HaTorah against offering a blemished sacrifice mentioned in connection with the appointment of judges? Picking up with Deuteronomy chapter 17, the first verse. Why is the Torah against offering a blemished sacrifice? And this is mentioned here in connection with the appointment of judges. Why is this? Well, a blemished sacrifice is thought to represent a defective judge. So if you're offering something that is damaged to someone you say you love, you know, as an offering to even he who be who you be, right? A blemished sacrifice, something having either more than it should according to the created nature of it, or having less than it should. A blemished sacrifice is thought to represent a defective judge. That is an abomination before Jehovah. Even if an animal with a defect could be worth a great deal of money, it is still forbidden to be sacrificed. Whereas an animal that is inexpensive but defect-free was accepted for the mizbeach, the altar. So even within the old covenant type, according to the natural, we can learn in the iritical, the spiritual, the metaphysical, from the five cycle to the metaphysical, what this teaches I and I. Likewise, a wealthy judge who is unqualified is not acceptable. This one might, or the next two right here, is somewhat of an interest. What was the penalty for engaging in personal idolatry? A person proven guilty of engaging in personal idolatry, and this had to be based on the testimony of two or more witnesses, not hearsayers, but witnesses, was to be, according to Torah, publicly stoned to death. The accusing witnesses now were required to be the ones who began the execution, right, of the offender. Now here we have Robeinu, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Memharachin, Yesus Christus, Ainai, Rabbi, Yeshua HaMoshiach, speaking to this particular point and bringing this point forward, even with the woman that was accused, you know, of adultery. Notice that they only brought the woman. They didn't bring someone else. Did she commit adultery for self? And then when Yeshua said, well, he who's without sin, say, he who his hands is not dirty in this matter that is before the court. Not just generally, they never did nothing in their life, but no, because Yeshua knew them. You know, he who be, we be, knew them. So we get this sense right here, which is brought out, because according to Moshe's law, it had to be based on the testimony of two or three witnesses, and that one would be publicly stoned. And the accusing witnesses were required to be the ones who began the execution of the offender. Note that some of the sages say that the person should be stoned at the place where the idolatry was committed, because if you read in the Torah, it says, out to your gates, out to your gates. In other words, this is the judgment. Take that back to where y'all live, right, to demonstrate how the idol could not save him from execution, how the idol. And it's important to study this even in the new covenant sense of idol and idolatry. 16th question here, why was the testimony of a single witness, this goes with the two or three witnesses, why was and is the testimony of a single witness insufficient to establish the truth? So there's a principle of truth, of his truth and the truth, right, about a legal matter. So here in Deuteronomy 17:6, a question can be brought out asking why, lamazeh, why this, the testimony of a single witness insufficient to establish the truth about a legal matter? Why was this? Right? Why was this? To warn us against judging a person based on circumstantial. So even the idea of circumstantial evidence, it really comes out of reasoning on what Torah says. The circumstantial evidence being warned against judging a person based on what, well, it does seem like that, but the evidence is circumstantial at best. The testimony of at least two witnesses was required, both of whom were required independently, right, to testify and to be separately cross-examined. They had to be put on the cross. They had to be cross-examined for a conviction to be made, for a conviction to be made, right? Is astrology a form of idolatry? In Deuteronomy 17:3, there was this question. The answer here says yes. Hailahim, quote, never commanded, end quote, never commanded that the sun, the moon, or constellations to function other than to mark times and seasons. This is the original scriptural Torah reference to the sun, moon, and the constellations to mark times or seasons for the acceptable worship of Hailahim. So these were to mark the times and seasons. Right. So what people call astrology, right, you know, is not what, you know, astrology. Well, there's astral theology. Even in the scriptures, Jehovah sometimes uses these signs for signs. So based on the context, but as far as like astrology can tell you, you know, like who's your love and what's going to be like, so forth and so on, and you live like in an idolatry towards it. So that question right there. What is the penalty for the Edim, Zomamim, false witnesses? And this is interesting because it's like some of the pseudo-worldly astrology. Because the sun, the moon, and the stars are spoken of in scripture, even in prophecy. But the true context of these heavenly bodies are to tell and mark times and seasons, right? So here, the Edim, Zomamim, false witnesses. It's like the pseudo psychology and astrology is a lot of it's like that. Not saying they're not principles. There are principles, but if you study the word first, you'll find out the right orientation of those principles, right? To give one direction according to principle, but one still had to choose, right? Choose life and choose what they do. So the penalty for false witnesses was that to remind them, first of all, right? You know, the responsibility of beginning and execution, it falls to accusing witnesses. This goes really before, well, the penalty, because there's a responsibility of beginning and execution falling to the accusing witnesses. This is interesting. This is really interesting that those who accuse would have to be the first hand. Why? To remind them that while it is easy to accuse someone, their involvement in the case would not end with their mere testimony. Think about that. That one's accused, people accuse ones all the time, and then others act as the executioner. But according to Jah law, the responsibility of beginning and execution, that this falls to the accusing witnesses, it reminds them of how easy it is to accuse someone, but then you just don't leave the case and go, no, you're still involved in the case, and it doesn't end with a mere testimony. And knowing that they would be required to, quote, first cast a stone, thus we get the groundation of the words of Robeinu, of Yeshua HaMoshiach, cast the first stone, first cast a stone, should make them extremely careful with their testimony as well as with their accusation, because this brings us now to the penalty of the Edim, Zomamim, the false witnesses. They are to be punished by receiving the very sentence that their victim was to receive. So they accuse them of something that the punishment was death. Well, they would receive that very sentence of death because of their Edim, Zomamim, their false witness. They are to be punished by receiving the very sentence that their victim was to receive, according to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Verses 16 to 19. Note that a conspiracy to perjure must be proven for each false witness before this sentence can be given. So each one, that's why it says to diligently search out, right? Diligently investigate, diligently search out a matter. What is the Beit Din? The Beit. Beit is house, Din. It's a house of judgment, Dean, and Dean from Don. Don, and you know, we have John, as in John Hoy. A Beit Dean is a religious or a Torah-based court that consisted of three judges by a greater Sanhedrin, the High Assembly. Three were required. Note this here, even the Trinity, the Holy Trinity and the pattern. Three were required to resolve a stalemate between two verdicts. You may get two verdicts, and three are required to resolve a stalemate between two verdicts. Every town with a population of less than 120 required a Beit Din. However, if the town did not have qualified shoftim, ones qualified to meet for Rajoch, a court is forbidden there, and cases must be immediately escalated. Then they must be sent to the next region that has a proper Beit Din, a proper house of judgment. The general requirements for members of a Beit Din, they are given in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13, and in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. So the requirement for a house of judgment based on Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13, and Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. But if a case proves too difficult for a local court, a local Beit Din, what was required? What was required according to Deuteronomy 17:8? The case was to be escalated, stepped up to a higher court located at the sanctuary. So that higher court that was at the Mikdash, the Beit Mikdash, the house of the holy, we say the temple, That was the Sanhedrin or the assembly. The assembly. So the word Sanhedrin, what does it mean? The word Sanhedrin, it means sitting together. Sitting together. Seat up together. Together. And it refers to any assembly, an assembly of judges. So that assembly of the Shoftim would be the Sanhedrin, or the sitting, the being seated up together. And a Sanhedrin Katana, right, the Sanhedrin Katana, that right there, this word here, it refers to an assembly of 23 judges. So the Katana, like the small one, 23 judges appointed to every city, having 120 men or more in the land of Israel, in the promised land. This assembly became known as the Sanhedrin Katana, the small Sanhedrin, the small assembly, in relation to the Sanhedrin Gedola, the great Sanhedrin, the great assembly that convened at the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and at the Beit Mikdash, at the Beit HaMikdash, at the temple. 23 judges were required based on the definition of a community. So Hebraically, based on the definition of an Eddah, the Eddah, a community, as consisting of 10 people, according to Numbers chapter 14, verse 27. In cases determining the status of someone who fled to a city of refuge, one Eddah, one community, was required to argue for guilt, while another was required to argue for acquittal. And this right here would make like 20 judges. However, in capital cases, cases where the death penalty may be enforced, a majority of two is required. A majority of one is insufficient. So that required 22 judges. Finally, to avoid the possibility of a stalemate, an extra judge was needed to yield a total of 23 judges for a valid Sanhedrin Katana, or a small assembly. In addition, two scribes, or even the Shotarim, two scribes were required to independently record the court's proceeding. Only men that mind them of wisma, of wise mind and bina, and understanding, overstanding, were chosen to be members of the Sanhedrin Katana. Now we have the Sanhedrin Gedola, which is referred to as the Great Sanhedrin or the Great Assembly. This was comprised of 71 judges. This corresponds to the 70 elders who helped Moses judge the people, who convened at the Mishkan, the sanctuary, at the tabernacle, and later at the Beit Mikdash, the house of the holy, the temple, to decide the most important or difficult cases. We have this in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. This was the supreme court of ancient Israel. The head, the Ras of the Sanhedrin Gedola, was Hanasi, was the Nasi. The Nasi is a prince, but often in even modern Hebrew, the Nasi is the president. So the head, the Rosh of the Sanhedrin Gedola, of the great assembly of Jerusalem, was Hanasi, was the Nasi or president who served the role of Moses. Of the 70 judges, the most qualified was chosen to serve as Hanasi's assistant, and he was called the Av Beit Din, the Av, Father Beit Din, the father of the court, the father of the court, the father of the house of judgment. The assistant to Hanasi was the Av Beit Din, the father of the court. The 69 other judges, which is three sets of 23, were seated in order of age. The older judges sitting closer to the center of the chamber where Hanasi presided. Seats were arranged in the shape of an arc, so that everyone could see one another as cases were discussed. Most of the great Sanhedrin were composed of priests, the Kohanim, and the Halloween and Levites who served at the Mishkan, at the sanctuary, and were given priority over other Israelites, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 9. Though after the time of the Maccabees, remember the Maccabees? After the time of the Maccabees, the Pharisees assumed more control of the higher court, and we can follow that straight through to the time of HaMoshiach Yeshua. Is a court of just one judge valid? So this is an interesting question. Is a court of just one judge valid? Technically, yes, since Leviticus 19:15 states that you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Though in general, a court with just one judge was considered untrustworthy. So as we would judge, and see, one of the ones, of course, probably going to quote what Rabbeinu says in the translation, where he said, judge not. In the Hebrew and the Royal Amharic context of it, he says, don't judge against. In other words, don't be condemnatory. In other words, judge righteous judgment. That means have balanced scales. Don't already have the scales tipped because this is your friend or this is your enemy. That's what Yeshua is saying when the translator says, judge not. More better, judge not against, to say, don't be condemnatory. Don't judge with an evil eye. So when were courts required to be in session? When? After morning prayer, after sunrise, shaharit prayer, until early afternoon. This is why Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus even said it. He said that this court, when they had the court, that kangaroo Sanhedrin court against Yeshua HaMoshiach, he said like the court was not even valid. He said what they were doing was not lawful because the courts, right, were supposed to be in session after the morning prayers, the sunrise prayers, until early afternoon. Cases were never to be heard at night. Cases were never, no night there, no night. No cases would be heard at night. Based on Deuteronomy chapter 21:5, that states that the Kohanim, that the priests were, quote, judge lawsuits and plague spots, which requires the light of day. It requires the light of day for examination, according to Leviticus 13:14. This is where the principle, the precept comes from. Court sessions were never held during HaShabbat, during the Sabbath, or on holidays. And that's the second reason why what they did to Yeshua HaMoshiach was not lawful, was not legal, was lawful. So yes, Rastafari, hear. There's more, but hopefully we'll pick up on this because we should become better acquainted with this right here. But here, riding up here, the first day, here, Baraka, the Psalm, Isaiah's eye. Yes, sir.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him.
Yes, I, as we go forward in this Shavua, yes, I, going forward here, like to share this again on the outro right here, judgment or justice for Nzinga King. Look who's short, but it's Talua, and also the Rastafari elder that chants Psalm 87 from His Majesty Bible. Listen for it at the full of fullness. Right here, it's a ride up in the judgment and the justice theme right here, here. Yes, I, God bless the eye, keep the eye, cause His face, His grace, His shine on I and I, Eli and I, Yeshua, Shalom, Yeshua, victory. Yes, I. Rastafari.
Global embarrassment to the Jamaica police, and it's spill over into the government. So the state now is in disrepute on account of one woman remaining silent against which an allegation of sacrilege has been levied at.
About 50 Rastafarians, they are gathered in an open lot in front of the Fort police station, demonstrating in support of one of their colleagues, who it is alleged to have been trimmed while here at in the lock of the Fort police station. We have spoken to the leader of the group, so they understand that, you know, whilst they want to demonstrate, but they must maintain the peace. They can't in any way obstruct other road users. They have been cooperating so far. It's very peaceful as we speak.
As the world know, because this has become a world event, our little Princess Nzinga was deprived of her crowning glory, her consecration that she was born with. Because Nzinga was actually sanctified within the Nyabingi order by venerable priests and bishops within the order of Nyabingi. And for her to just have an altercation with the police, which we question, she was charged for disorderly conduct, which we also question what she was doing, why disorderly conduct, because from what she said, she was just objecting to the police to pepper spray in a car when they were ascertaining a man who did not have on his mask. She had complied, she had hers on, but when they were pepper sprayed, she came out and was objecting to being pepper sprayed. And that resulted in she being charged for not wearing her mask, because she had to remove her mask. And then after, when she came to the station, she was charged for disorderly conduct, which she don't understand why. And up to now, can you imagine, Indicom was here, the commissioner of police was here, and I think the public defender too was here. Why all that questioning? She can't say, I did not. Up to now, we haven't heard of a word, and as the placard say, the silence of Officer Barber is deafening, and it is bringing the police force into disrepute. This is all over the Washington Post, it's all over the Guardian, it's all over the major newspapers of the world. This is an embarrassment on the Jamaica government. And one little police barber create that from the government? No, this should be removed. It's incumbent on her. It's incumbent on the commissioner to say to her, well, if you're not talking, we'll remove you from duty. We also remove her from you to poor us. We don't know how true that is.
And I know the mother feels it just like how I feel it. So I'm happy to you this morning, Oja, to bring forth thy wrath unto that woman, Oja. Catch forth thy wrath, Oja, and let you know that Rastafari live it and reign it forever. World without him.
If them even want to keep her in the force, set up a barber shop up at Twickenham Park. So you see, when a police want to trim, him just go pay 50% to Officer Barber, because the government subsidize the trimming of police officers. She can't depart streets and trim innocent people. Keep her in the force, because remember, in the army, you have man with a clean boot, you know. He not come a road, you know, and just shine shoes. She is in her position where them set up one barber place up at Twickenham Park and say, here where you are going to do, your clean police boot. Or, and cut here. That's all you are going to do. Cut here because you love me. But this time you do it illegally. I know the worst part. When she lose this case, and we pray she lose it, that the taxpayers' money we are going to pay. That earth we know, you know. If you know with taxpayers' money, have to go pay for something we're done by a police officer. The government will make police will commit crime, pay out of them pocket. Because my money shouldn't be paying back for you. Cut my family locks. No. So we are here, the drums are going to chant. We see the rain are going to come in, so we want to get the drums, the message. So we have rats from Ochi, rats from Westmoreland, rats from all over the globe there. And we are doomed live to a international community, you know. It's rain of all of England for weeks, make them the march from the Jamaican embassy in the UK, you know. Everywhere. I may have letters from my phone from Chile, from Mexico, from Ecuador, from Panama, from South Africa, from England, from the USA. This is an embarrassment, and just one police officer I create so much embarrassment from police. We know police out there, we are police officers. But this woman now behave like a police officer. She embarrassed the force.
She spent 5 days in custody. And she spent 5 days in custody. Out of 10 days. Then the fine or to cut in half. Or the fine cut proportionately to the time you have spent. This is normal throughout the police behavior in Jamaica. So she spent 5 days and the mother still had to pay $6,000. Then when she was brought to the station, she had to pull down her underwear. She had to lift up her bras and all of that. That is not the norm in Jamaica, that our women are violated when they are taken to a police station. And you can't give me no excuse about she might be carrying ganja or she might be carrying scissors. She's coming from court, so she carry the scissors go to court. All these things are violation of our sisters. In these police stations, there are no beds in for our sisters to sleep on. You know. It's bad enough for the man. But you put our sisters on the floor, if they do, they have to use a piece of newspaper or something like that. That's what goes on in Jamaica. So when Babsy Grange and company are in parliament talking about women's rights, that's where you start. Those that you keep in custody, don't you have a duty to at least provide them safely? And when she, with all that stress coming down upon her, her periods start to come. They say that they have no facilities for that. They do not provide the sanitary convenience for those things. All these are violations. So any news item or anything that any propaganda try to counter, do they answer any of those things that I've raised?
Anytime I want to accuse you of doing him something and you make 24 hour pass, and you don't clear yourself whether you're wrong or you're right, you have no talk. So this is a universal judgment and an individual trial. So there is no justice, a judgment. Because all our ancestors rise now and get mad. And get mad.
Muhammad Sazi Hemnekete Yahuda Medani Helam Abatachino Yemitinor Zion Mezaratuch Berekweresu Kirarach Natchu K.I. Kabdin Konach Yelik Yigziabiyar Yetsoinan Indi Judge Yeah, where did that show all? Yigziabiyar Ketimahoy Vianche Yetikibiyar Nigra Yibalal Yemeye Wikunin Riyabinya Babylonin I sat my brook, Alikwashwa, be mixed up, you know, gradual. Then say, you mean a rule, Ulodes, in the Malachu, you know, gradual. Abitura that a medicine ye have to call now. You leve a step. Befete, yamare, you hold. Sila.